Would you pray with me? Holy One, grant us wisdom in the words we hear this day, or in spite of them, for we need wisdom this day. Amen. It seems that the world has become more profane. That means it has no center. It is chaotic and disordered. There's no heart, no place or time for the sacred. In some ways, it's homogeneous. A Starbucks opens in Venice, a McDonald's near Versailles. Nothing more important than the other. Rosemarie Berger, a Catholic poet and peace activist, lives in Washington, D.C., and she wrote a story recently, an observation, and I'd like to share it with you. She writes, "At the corner of 14th and Euclid Streets, northwest in Washington, D.C., many evenings at sunset, the Domino's delivery man kneels down to pray. About 50 years old, he wears dark pants, white high-top sneakers, and the pizza company's bright red shirt. And in the dusty space between the cracked sidewalk and the asphalt, and between the traffic light pole and the chipped green fire hydrant, he lays down a faded prayer rug and faces the rose-washed bricks of the Olympia apartment building towards the east. This street corner is what historian of religion Mircea Eliade would call profane space. It is homogeneous. No place is more significant than another. There is no center to it. The Amoco gas station is physically the same as every other Amoco station. Late night patrons regularly hear rounds of gunshots and hit the ground. Cars run stoplights, are symbols of order. The occasional shooting deaths complete the chaos. Profane space is chaotic space without shape or order. Profane space leads to a lack of reality, a dismantling of humanness. As the sun slants behind him in the west, the Domino's delivery man lays down his blue and tan prayer rug and removes his shoes. Perhaps he thinks that this place is not as clean as it should be, or mourns that he is not with a community of believers. Perhaps he feels guilty that with his work schedule he cannot complete all the sunset prayers. Still, he touches his forehead to the ground. At that moment of prayer, he is not simply one more object in the urban landscape. Rather, he has become a hierophany, a disruption of profane space by a manifestation of the divine. His act of praying transforms the cityscape into a sacred space, holy ground. Moses sees a burning bush. Mary sees an angel. What does the pizza man see? Through his prayer, this inner city intersection gains a sacred center, an axis mundi. Here he becomes a meeting point between heaven and earth. Here the sacred world approaches the profane one, and our profane humanity approaches the sacred. He provides a point of orientation in space and time, whereby the world beyond him may be shaped, ordered, and structured. Through his prayer practice, he transforms chaos into cosmos. He restores reality. He creates humanness. He incarnates the divine. Walking down a street, a dangerous street, chaotic, homogeneous, deliberately profane, Rosemarie Berger sees. She sees a sacred moment in place and time where nothing sacred is supposed to be, where making a space for sacred conversation is downright dangerous to him. We walk past people in our profane spaces and we are afraid to see. The beggar in the street is rarely looked at, even by those who give. We avoid seeing him, afraid of the demand on our time and our money, our confusion over what is right, should we give or not, or because we know that so much more is needed, but we are unable to meet that need, and we deliberately don't see until we can no longer see. The blind beggar sat on a mat at a crossroads where camel trains passed, and Roman soldiers, people walking to Jerusalem. And in this story, the man actually has a name, Bartimaeus. When First United Church on the downtown east side became a no-barrier shelter, they asked no questions, thinking that people valued their privacy. And when BC Housing told them to ask for names so that they knew how to fund the shelter, First United resisted, citing privacy concerns. But when they first started asking for names, people cried. One man said, "No one has called me by my name for so long. I'm just nobody." In many stories, even Bible stories, the poor ones, the beggars, the women have no name. But here even the blind beggar has a name, Bartimaeus, and it gives his lineage. The place where he sits is profane space. It is homogeneous. Romans, Greeks, Africans, Jews, soldiers, traders, weapons and oil, even then, refugees and citizens passing one another, trying not to see. It is chaotic. People jostle and cry out, and there's no center. Everyone is on their way somewhere else, and those who have power are seen, and those who don't may not want to be seen. And into this place arrives a hierophany, a disruption to profane space. Bartimaeus refuses not to be seen. The blind man refuses not to be seen. And he cries out to be seen, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The blind beggar may not be known, but he knows. He knows who comes and who goes at the crossroads of the empire. "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people around and the disciples themselves try to shush him. They sternly warn him to be silent. But Jesus stops and says, "Call him here." And here is an interesting thing. Bartimaeus throws off his cloak and leaps up to greet him. He uncovers himself and approaches Jesus unclothed. When he approaches Jesus, he is truly seen. And into the profane space, the chaotic, homogeneous, profane time and place, there is a manifestation of the sacred. Jesus stops, and the people around him stop. On a busy highway, they stop, and they become the center, whether it's the center of a congregation or just the center of a traffic jam, they stop. And this almost naked blind man and Jesus, Son of David, become the center around which all things pivot and change. And the profane is broken apart there by the divine. And Jesus sees Bartimaeus. And the disciples see him seeing. And the people flowing around, even perhaps those cursing the disruption, also see them seeing, and they see something. They themselves see the one who was unseen and unimportant became the center, and finally the only one who actually asked to see sees. And the first thing he sees is the face of the divine one, and perhaps, just perhaps, the second thing he sees is himself reflected in the eyes of one who sees him. It is said that the problem with seeing is that you can't unsee. This is sometimes why we're terrified of seeing, why we turn away and close our eyes, and we are right to be frightened. What we see in the world is frightening. But what we miss when we don't see is also the glorious and amazing. I read Rosemary Berger because it seems to me that she has a gift of seeing, and that in her telling of what she sees, she shows me a vision of the glorious in the midst of the profane and the wonderful in the midst of things I'm afraid to see. I look to God and Christ to give me the courage to open my eyes and see, and to ask of God, not just let me see, but when I have not the courage for God to be my eyes, for Christ to be my vision, so I can see not just the pain and the profane, but I hope also the sacred and the divine. And so we ask now for God to be our vision. And we'll sing, Be Thou My Vision.